Genesis chapter 12 is such a perfect setting, or chapter 11, because it begins the dream that God had for man. We certainly know about the American dream, right? And that is for everyone a family and 2.5 children and a white picket fence. But God has a dream for all mankind. He has a dream for all of his people, that we have been created in his image, and because of this, we are family, and we are connected by blood. We are connected by the blood of humanity or the blood of Christ. But in both, we are family, amen? And God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that no man stands alone. No man stands and lives and thrives by himself, even to the extent that he knew man, male, needed female so that they might be one complete. God understands everything about us, even to the extent that he laid out this beautiful plan for families. Even the idea of a family comes from God. The connection that we will have with our physical loved ones, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our children, it is something special about being connected by flesh and blood. You look like each other. You can have the same general as well as specific genetic characteristics, genotype and phenotype. These things that have been discovered that connect DNA that we are so familiar with today when it comes to being able to identify a singular individual by the strands of their DNA. The fact that God knows us that intimately. He knew us in essence even before we were brought into this world. And so we might say that DNA started with God, because he put into place, out of these millions of beautiful combinations between one man and one woman, could be brought forth this soul so completely individual and so completely unique that we can say this statement: there has never been anyone on earth like you, and there will never ever be another person on earth exactly like you. God understood family. We describe it in this way. We talk about the institutions. We talk about these fundamental organizations, these fundamental units that humans conglomerate into. I like the way the Bible reads it or describes it in Mark chapter 10. We'll spend some time here primarily this morning. Mark chapter 10, beginning verse 28. When God established the home, the church, and this sense of our society, he established something that has this long thread that goes through it. When I look to my physical brother, I'm looking to someone I'm connected to. Beginning in verse 1, he says, we are part of that family that has been born again. Peter said in this way, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands, for my sake and for the gospel's sake. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. There is this sense of the eternality of family, that we are part of the family of God, and it is our hope. It is our very real, plausible possibility, because God has said it, that we will see our loved ones in eternity. In that relationship, in that dwelling place, in that place where Jesus himself has quoted as saying, there are many mansions or many rooms. I have prepared a place for every soul that is obedient in faith to God. What a beautiful thing that God established these things in such a way that now we understand that dwelling place. Genesis chapter 11 begins the generations that came after Shem. And Shem, of course, begat by generations before Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, the 12 children or the 12 sons of Jacob that were the patriarchs of the tribes. And eventually, through the bloodline of David himself, would come forth the Messiah. That we now can speak this word of family. We can speak it and we know it. We know it from the standpoint of procreation. I understand who my family is by birth or by adoption. We are now connected so that this unit is together. We have a history. Even if you don't know or have never met your grandparents, you know you had grandparents, amen. You know you're connected to something beyond your present existence, and they and their parents and their parents' parents were connected beyond their own existence. We wear the family name. And in that name, we give honor. We give that name love. We give that name respect. We give that name compassion. And we honor that because of the relationship. And so what Jesus is saying now, don't look to the things physically only. They certainly had a connection when they said, we've left something. I don't miss things that don't matter or were not valuable or were not crucial to my existence. Amen. When they said they left something, they knew they left something valuable. They left a connection. Sadly, some of us, our connection to our physical families is distant. Amen. In our society here in the U.S., we live in so many different places. We have a separate physical proximity. Some of us are blessed to live near family. And we know what a comfort that is. When in just less than a few hours or less than a day's drive, you can be with your parents. You can be with siblings. You can be with children or grandchildren. And to think about being removed from them, how would you feel? What position emotionally would that put you into? But there are responsibilities that come with this idea of family, and they come with this idea of teaching. There is a distinctiveness, and there is something to be maintained when it comes to the family of God. The church, in its inception, came through the gospel, and so we are connected to it. When each of us says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm ready to put him on in baptism, we are now saying, Lord, add me to your family. Add me to your body. Add me to your kingdom, the church. I will have this eternal connection. I will have this sense of bonding with you that cannot be broken. It is like unto the bonding of male and female, man and woman, husband and wife, a bond that cannot be broken by man. First, the home has these external pluses or benefits. There's a connection that the home provides this place of instruction in God. Amen. There's a connection. First, the connection is with our progeny, our children. It is said by these statistics, birth to 21 is the average age or during those years, a child spends 105 hours awake. A maximum of 2,100 Bible school and worship hours if they are in church every Sunday from birth to 21. About 10,000 hours are spent in school. About 92,000 hours are spent at home. And so how much of that time is spent in instruction and in training? You remember Deuteronomy chapter 6? What did the great wisdom of Moses advise the people in this great second giving of the law, in this generation that was to come? Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning verse 6. He wanted them to understand a relationship that they were to have. They were to know where they were and from whence they had come. They had come from this generation that followed and believed God. He said, through their words alone and without these things expressed by them will do us no good. Yet as we are in danger of losing the things, if we neglect the words, we must therefore even lay the words up in our heart. And I like that translation. Lay the words up in your hearts. You have a family tree? It is said right now that globally, Ancestry.com is a million plus business from people trying to discover their roots, discover their family tree from the matriarchal line or the patriarchal line. People want to be connected to something from their past, something that gives them permanency. And so Moses understood that. And God, in his infinite wisdom, knew we need a connection. We need something to anchor us that says we are not here just to live and exist. God has a purpose for us in our creation. Sadly, in our world today, there will be those who say, why even bring a child into this world with all the violence, with all the awful crime, with all the awful status, socioeconomic of living today? Why would you put a child through that suffering? And then we must answer and say, the world is given for children, amen? It is given for the generation to come. Not unlike us, certainly this world has not changed to become less sinful than it was during our parents' time, amen? It is not better in that sense. And I'm sure that our parents had the same type of fears and worries and concerns that we do for our children, and yet they loved us enough to bring us to the understanding that God is the only one that we must bow down our heads to. Amen. We don't bow down to any man. We don't bow down to any institution of man. But we humble ourselves before God because we recognize him as our creator. We have given the authority as parents to guide, to instruct, and to instill in our children a sense of love and connection to who they are. And whose they are. God says, suffer not the children to come unto me. What did Jesus understand about children that the apostle said, status-wise, don't go bother an adult? Amen. That's what they were saying to the children. Jesus is an adult. He is separate from you. And yet Jesus is saying to them, you miss something. You're missing the view of these beautiful, pure, and innocent souls. And he says, if anything, you ought to become like them. Why was that a challenge? Because not like in our world, in their world, we have these hierarchies of family. And I don't mean hierarchies as we should be respectful for our parents. Absolutely. That was a commandment from the beginning. Honor thy mother and father. But we have this sense of hierarchies of status. In our world, essentially in the West, we don't honor older folks as some other societies do. In our world, we honor the young, attractive, the strong, the beautiful. That's where our world focuses. It's a difference of thinking. It's a difference of where we ought to put our worth. We are more invested in the here and now to protect those that are now starting and in the workforce than those who have left. Amen? Why do we worry about things like Social Security? Why do we worry about things like retirement and the health of our aged citizens? It's because we've taken the focus off of the foundation. God said and has continued to say, it is an awful thing for a man not to provide for his own. He is worse than an infidel, an unbelieving, hateful person. We stand in the position, though, now to become the people God would have us to be and to understand the beauty and importance of family. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible reads, in the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the households which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. God always saw us together. Amen. He never saw man as an individual. When we think about this historical record of the blessings, household to household, tribe to tribe, God was concerned with the protection and providing for his people. He didn't want anyone to be left out. Is it any wonder then that children ought to be the heart? They ought to be the substance of our focus. We ought to think in terms of What are we instilling and preparing for the generation to come? We have a responsibility, amen? I love what my wife used to say when she was teaching Bible class. A child can't drive themselves to Sunday school, amen? They are dependent upon someone. And even in that simple rule, they depend on us to provide everything they need, even the instruction and the wisdom of God. We ought to model it first, amen? The Bible reads in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Let's go there for just a minute. Ephesians 5, 22. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Or verse 1. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I want you to understand that as he opens in verse 1, he's given himself for us. That includes household. Now he makes it more specific in verse 22 when he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now that coincides with the previous verse. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We stand to help children to see this. If mothers want their children to be in subjection to them, if fathers want their children to be in subjection to them, godly fathers, godly mothers are in subjection to God. That's it. I want a godly household. Father and mother must understand that they are in subjection to the authority of God. What does he put forth by that? What does that imply? It implies that subjection is a responsibility, amen? I must know who is in charge. God is. Why? Because I was never and will never be a perfect father, amen? I don't know all the problems, I don't know all the solutions, but I do know where to point you to. The instruction and the wisdom of God's word. Because we have a universal problem as human beings, and that is sin and the difficulty of staying out of it. One problem is solved. We can remove sin through baptism, but then we're going to face it the very next minute, hour, day. How am I going to solve it? I'm going to trust in God. I cannot trust in the school board. I cannot trust in the police. I cannot trust in the state superintendent and such like. You fill in the blank of agency or individuals that you think will do a better job parenting your children. You tell me about it. That's not the one that's asked to parent the children that you have been given and I have been given. It is a blessing, but it is a scary responsibility. They belong to us. We are responsible for them and for their outcome. Children are to be subject to their mother. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. And this idea that by teaching and practicing the things spiritually that guide children, that instruct them, whether it's discipline, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 2, or by being that example. What do we say? Children are watching when we want them to and when we don't want them to. They're still watching. You know who else is watching? Spouses. You know who else is watching? Our parents and our brothers and sisters. Because remember this, in a congregation, we are many families, amen? That's what he's talking about, that in this life, you will gain other families spiritually in this household. I can see other families. I can see their love. I know who to model, and sometimes I know who to strengthen and encourage. Parents need encouragement, amen? It's not easy. It's not easy rearing children in this time in our society today. And so I commend you parents and I encourage you and I want you to know that as families, individually, I am praying for you. There is no such thing as this answer will straighten out a child, amen? There's no such thing as this set of rules. Do these 7 things, do these 10 things, and you will be the best parent you can be. No. This is a struggle that comes every day, every month, every year. I am trying my best to be more of what God would have me to be. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go there for just a moment. Matthew chapter 6. We do have priorities. Jesus lays out the priority. Seek first the kingdom. But what does that look like? Amen. When we have other responsibilities, Because seeking first the kingdom also means I've got to provide food, clothing, shelter, transportation. And in our society today, I've got to provide socially encouraging environments. I've got to be invested in their social and mental development. That's a lot to ask of any one individual. That's something new in our generation, in our time of living. The generations before us were concerned with, you know what, I got a farm, I'm gonna have more children so I can take care of this farm. It was real simple. But now we've been exposed to a world that's a little bit different than that. And so now we need God's wisdom to help us. Certainly the priority is seek first the kingdom. In doing that, we need the wisdom from one another. We need instruction on how to be parents for children now. It's different. It's great that we have these sociological theories about the baby boomers and Gen X and the millennials and Gen Y. We have these characteristics and traits that we can kind of slot and assign people based on how they grew up, when they grew up. But those things are just a sliding scale. They just kind of give us an idea. They're not a solution. They're not an answer. Developing the proper attitude as parents helps us to know it's important that your children are there for Bible class. And it's important that you know what's being taught in class and that you go over those things with them so that they know and understand that you know who's in charge, you know who's the smartest person. It's not the teacher at school. It's not the Bible class teacher. It's mom and dad. They can answer those complex problems or questions. I can have confidence that in the home, at the table, I can find the answers to what I'm dealing with in life. Do you have a time that you are together with your family that you sit down at the table and you ask your children and you say, "More, how was school?" And they say, "Well, it was good." All right, go do your homework. Is that the end of the conversation? Or do you ask them, "Tell me something that you learned today. How's your friends at school today? What problems did you deal with today? What's something that's going on that's challenging other boys in your class or other girls in your class?" Ask specific things so that you give your children an opportunity to open up. We have to guide them. And we talk about proper teaching, certainly, but we also have to have some wisdom that goes along with that so that they have this connection. I just can't emphasize enough to you when they said, "We have left all," the apostles to Jesus in that context of Mark 10. "We have left all to follow you." Everything that was their foundation, their moral standard, what motivated them, they left. But what God is saying, you're actually closer to this than you ever realized. Those instructions are only as good and the wisdom that you receive as you are. Remember these things in the Jewish customs tradition, all right? So for male children in the Jewish custom in the first century, circumcised on the eighth day, they were taught a trade, they were taught the Torah, the instruction of the first five books of the Old Testament, they were taught about the customs of Jewish worship, and they were taught about their responsibility to their wives. That's male. So what about the female children? Well, it was just a supporting role to male. It was a patriarchal society. But God came to expand that and to make it what it was designed to be, for men and women to have an individual relationship to Christ. And that relationship to Christ would make the family stronger. There were always mothers who were praying. There were always Hannahs. There were always Loises. There were always Eunices that wanted the best for their children. And it is beautiful that those names are recorded in the book about the place that those mothers stood. But I wonder today, do mothers still pray for their young boys to be preachers? Do they pray for them to be elders? Do they pray for them to be faithful Christians? And in that prayer, are you asking for something real? Do we think or do we pray more about the career objectives of our children than we do about the understanding that their lives are hidden in Christ? they will see and they will learn if your life is hidden in Christ. So what role do we fulfill? Some of us have children, some of us don't. Amen. That's not a requirement to be a faithful Christian. But what it does mean is that each of us in this family of God has something to contribute to each family. You have something to contribute. I love seeing our young families. I love seeing our families that have children and that don't have children because we are all connected. Amen. There's something that brings us together, and it is a love for Christ. Finally, he says this. He says, "Verily I say unto you that though men have left house, brethren, or sister, or mother, or father, or children, or lands for my sake or for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, and sisters, mothers, children, and lands." What did they receive then? They received the blessing of being in a relationship with the body of Christ. Remember, we started it this way. God instituted, created families because he created souls. Even before we were brought into physical existence, God knew of us. God has now given his plan through ancient time, all the way back to Abraham through Christ, that now every one of us can be part of a godly household. Here is the most important thing then. What's the summation of it? God uses the home to change societies. It starts with me. If I can change myself, I can change my partner, I can change my children, I can change their world. It is worth it to bring children into the world today because of the influence that one child and one family can have. We are reminded with the tragic and sad occurrences in our own state with these horrific floods, how precious the life of a child can be. You can have all the great intentions, all the great plans, but time and chance happens to every family. Let's trust more in God and in the confidence of establishing how he uses the home to spread the message of respect, of kindness, of courtesy, and of love. Let's go to God in prayer. Great all-wise Father, thou art the God, the Father of all. You have created us in your image, and you have given us the hope that we as individuals born into physical families, but now being added to your spiritual family, have been expanded to be the servants that you would have us to be. We have been given expanded responsibilities. Now we care not only for our own children, but for our brothers and sisters and for their families. We care not only for the future of our own children, but for the future of the body of Christ. Lord, as we invest, as we pour ourselves into our families, to our spouses, to our children, to our parents, help us to be the examples to those that are most close and most precious to us. Help us to be able to show the best version of ourselves to those that love us the most. Guard our hearts, Lord, that we're not discouraging, that we're not hurtful, that we don't cause pain or grief to those that we love the most. Help us to have this connection to families, Lord, because we're connected by blood. The blood of existence, the blood of life, the blood of Christ. That now we see one another as brothers and sisters. That this bond that is unbreakable brings out patience. It brings out compassion. It brings out oneness. That, Father, as we look to your word, that gives us the wisdom and understanding to handle life's problems, whether we're parents, strengthen them. Strengthen them with the wisdom and with the maturity that they'll know how to be the very best examples, that they'll provide for the children, especially that they will instruct them in wisdom and in your word, that they will guide them in according to training, whether it is the practice of worship, the practice of serving others, that their children might see in them the light and the beauty of your love. Let all of our children know that you love them, that the love of their parents and the love that is pouring out upon the cross is something that is everlasting. Father, we pray that this bond of families is not broken. We pray, Father, that we don't allow sin and hurtful words and hurtful actions to draw a wedge in between the bond of those that we love. Help us with wisdom as parents to apologize when we hurt our children. Help us to apologize to our parents when we have hurt them. Help us, Lord, to be a people that are ready to forgive, that are full of long-suffering, that are full of courage, but also of humility. Guard us against Satan, because he certainly wants to destroy the family. He certainly wants to bring a darkness and a pain upon families. And so help us, Lord, forgive us and strengthen us so that we, as we press on each day, each month, each year, that we look back and see how you have led our lives. Father, we're so thankful to be together on this, the Lord's Day, to be a part of your family. Guide us as your children. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Whatever you need this morning, please come as we stand, as we sing.